A word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us, dear Lord. We're thankful for your goodness to us, your love, your mercy. We're thankful for the service that we had this morning, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the food that it gives to us. It nourishes our spiritual man, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, it's a blessing to us. And dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have a hungering for it. Dear Heavenly Father, as the sister mentioned a little bit, dear Lord, people don't have a hungering for the things of God. They're not interested in the things of God. And dear Heavenly Father, the most important thing that man needs is God. Above all things, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we can have poor health. Dear Lord, we can have a homeless situation. Dear Lord, there can be many tragedies in our life, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord, if we have Christ, we have everything. Dear Heavenly Father, we think of the man that laid at the rich man's gate, dear Heavenly Father. And what we would look at as a homeless man, as Lazarus laid there and full of sores, begging for some food, begging for some help from the rich man. And he didn't receive any. And Lord, that we see in the word that Jesus tells us, he says that he died and was carried into heaven, dear Heavenly Father. So dear Lord, whatever things may be a tragedy to us, dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father, long as we have Christ. But Lord, so many people have so many convenient things and blessings and riches and jewels and things of this world, but they don't have Christ and they're poor, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, we're thankful for the hungering and thirsting for the word of God. We ask you to be with us as we open it up again one more time this evening, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to anoint each and every one of our ears and our hearts, dear Heavenly Father, that will receive what you have for us, dear Lord. So we ask you to bless and anoint the word, anoint me that I'll bring as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. In Revelation chapter 21, we're going to pick up two verses of Scripture, in verse 6 and verse 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be this his God, and he shall be my son. I want to look at verse 6 here for just a moment. And he says, I will give unto him that athirst. Ever been thirsty? I mentioned a little bit about that this morning. And even mentioned it some last night about being thirsty. I am one that I can drink some water. I enjoy water. I drink a lot of water. And even now you can be thirsty, a little parched with singing and things like that. But as much water as I buy a case of water at the store and I take it to work, I put it in my refrigerator at work and I'll drink at least one, maybe two bottles before lunchtime. I drink a lot of water and I enjoy water. And it doesn't necessarily have to be cold, and so I enjoy it. But I know one thing, that as much water as I can drink, I'm going to be thirsty again. Amen. I'm going to have a thirst there again. But he's not talking about thirst for a physical water here. He says there, I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountains of water of life freely. Yes. I thank God for one day I had a desire for the things of God. Yes. I thank God I had a thirsty. Now some of you, I mentioned that about water, and some of you have heard that have mentioned you can't drink water. You know, you know the water is good for you, you know, but some people, they just can't get acquainted. Now how I got away with it, sometimes I have some kidney stones. And if you ever had a kidney stone before and the pain that it creates you, and they tell you, you need to drink water. Well, let me tell you what, after the very first kidney stone I had, I drank a lot of water. I mean, I forced water, and it became a part of me to where I enjoyed it. I like water, and actually I enjoy water a lot. And so that is something that with me, and I enjoy that. But the thing is, the thing with the things of God, the thirstiness of God, there are people out there that are just like maybe some of you with the natural water. They don't have a taste. They don't acquire a taste of it. They don't like it. They may take a little sip of it and almost can make them sick of it. They don't desire it. But God says here, he says, I will give unto him that is thirsty. You have to be thirsty for it.
You have to have a desire for it. You have to have a longing for it. And I thank God that one day, and we have no understanding, just like you don't have a desire for the natural water, and I do, just the same thing, spiritual water, I don't have any idea. God delivered the spiritual water to me one day, and I accepted it, and I enjoyed it. It's a blessing to me. I shall give unto him that is thirsty the waters of life freely. If you're saved this morning or this evening, you got thirsty for the things of God.
Amen. Amen.
I told my testimony yesterday in the services in Hagerstown as I was there. And I often mentioned, saints, we need to give our testimony.
Amen.
We need to tell people how God saved us in the congregation. And I love, as I talked about with Paul, Paul gave his testimony. Paul got saved on the res. There again, I'm getting last night's message a little bit tied in with this evening there. As Paul was on the road to Damascus and the Lord spoke to him and he got saved. And later on, Paul was before King Agrippa and he's telling King Agrippa about how he got saved and how God talked to him and Felix and other times in the Bible. Paul told his testimony. And he didn't get tired. He loved it. This is how God saved me. I thank God for dealing with my heart one day. As I tried to tell the young people, it's a vision that we get when God introduces himself to us. It's a blessing to us.
Amen.
And when God one day talked to my heart and introduced himself to me, he gave me a hunger for the things of God. And as I told them last night, you know, when somebody gave me an invitation to come to a revival back there in 1981, I said, in my mind, I said, I don't want anything to do with that. But I told the person, I said, I'll think about it. But in my mind, I didn't want anything to do with it. But somewhere through that process, God started to deal with me. God started to work with me. I can't explain how, but he gave me a hunger for things. He gave me a hunger for the things of God. And I thank God for that. And by the grace and help of the Lord, we don't ever want to lose that thirst. We don't ever want to lose that thirstiness for the things of God there. If you're saved, you have a thirsty, or if you got saved, you had a thirsty for the things of God. And thank God he will give him that water of life freely. We think of the woman that was at the well. The woman was at the well there, and you know how the story was with her when Jesus started to talk to her and deal with her. And he said to the woman, he goes, this water, again, as I refer to that, this water that you have here, he goes, when you drink this water, you're going to be thirsty again. He says, but the water that I have for you, you're not going to thirst again. And I thank God for that. We're not thirsty for the things of the world. We're not thirsty for the way we used to live anymore. God changes us and puts a spirit within us, a different spirit within us, that we're not thirsty for those things. He says here, it's a fountain. You know what a fountain is? Fountain is where it starts. A fountain is where the waters start. It doesn't end there, it starts. Some years ago, as I've had a boat for many years, and it's one gentleman that was up in Pennsylvania. Actually, no, I don't think he was ever here one time. He's passed away. Him and his wife are gone. Wonderful, wonderful man. I learned a lot of navigation of the boats and didn't know a lot about waterways or anything, and he taught me a lot of things. And one time, I remember one time, and we were sitting there and talking, and he was been in the Navy and things, and the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and I just loved to talk to him. He was a very joyful person to talk to. And any time he would tell me something that was new to me, and I'd look at him, and he kind of laughed, because he knew I had no understanding of what he was saying. He kind of laughed. And I remember one time he said to me, I told him, this is before GPSs and all, and I said to him, I said, we had gone to a course to teach us how to read the charts, the plots on the charts and everything. And I said, the man that told us that, I said, when he was done, we had no idea what he was talking about. And he laughed at me. He goes, well, next week he lived in Pennsylvania. He lived in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. And that was a story there. Also, I'll relate to you a little bit here. But I come down, I'll bring my charts, and I'll teach you how to read these charts. And I said, well, you'll try. He goes, no, I'll teach you. And within 10 minutes, he got me to understand how to read the charts. But the one thing I wanted to thought about a fountain is we talked about the waterways. And he says to me, he says, we were in Middle River at the time, this part we were at. And he says, this is the head of Middle River. And I said to him, I said, well, why do they call it the head? I said, this is the end of the river. He laughed at me. He goes, no, this is the head of the river.
I said, what do you mean this is the head? All the water comes in here and this is the end of the river. He goes, no, this is where the river starts. And I said, what? And he kind of laughed and he says, this is where the river starts. He goes, there's a little fountain down in there at the head of every, he goes, that's where it comes out. And it comes out, and I've gone to other DNR things, and they have a little exhibit, and they would have a pond there, and they would have a little pond here, just a little display on it, and she had a stick, and she had this pond, and she took her finger, or took that stick, and cut a hole in the sand. It was just sand, and that water started to flow through this little spot, which was they considered the head, and as it continued to go, it expanded. And it went made a river. And that was where the head of it started. And the fountain is the same way. The fountain is where the water starts from. The very beginning of the headwaters start. And it flows out and it creates a river. And I'm not going to go back over there this evening. But you can go over to Ezekiel chapter 47. And he talks about a man standing there at the throne of God. And he says the waters usher out from under the throne of God. And goes to the east and to the west and to the north and south. And it flows out to the seas. And he says, when I went out among the throne there, went out, and if you remember the story, I've read it before, you measure out 1,000 yards, he goes, I'm out to my ankles. I'm in waters of my ankles. You know, when you stand at the head rivers or something, you can stand there. I can stand in just a little bit of water here. But when you go out about 1,000 yards and it gets into your ankles, you go out another 1,000 yards, it's up to your knees, you go out another 1,000, it's up to your loins, that's what it says in Ezekiel. You go out another, it's rivers to swim in. From the throne of God. That water ushers out from the throne. And God says this. He goes, those that have a desire for the thirsty things of God shall be, they shall be a fountain of water of life freely. Thank the Lord. A fountain is something where the waters start. A spring. When I mentioned this gentleman before, he lived in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. He took me there. And I'd never seen this before. And there was a big river, I guess, a big creek. And he walked up to this spot. And the reason it's called Boiling Springs is there was a spring under the rocks. There was a crack there. And that's where the water came up. And the water was bubbling up about that high. It wasn't actually hot. But it looked like it was boiling. It was just constant. And he says, that's been doing that for ages and ages and ages and ages. It doesn't cease. That's the beginning of it. And God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the very beginning and the end of the fountains of water. A fountain is not a stream. You know, sometimes I've been in the woods and seen streams, and you get a day like it was yesterday, them streams can be a little full. But then you get a couple days after that rain, it's just a little trickle. A stream can be redirected. A stream can dry up. But a fountain does not dry up.
Amen.
He says, I am the beginning and the end, and I supply the water of life freely. But verse 7 is where I want to take my thought out this evening. And our desire is to be able to enjoy the rivers of water from God all our lives. But in verse 7 he says, but he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. If we desire to have this fountain springing up within our hearts, within our souls, within our lives, to have this constant flow of God's blessing in their life, we have to overcome some things. We have to be victorious over some things. As I tried to my best last night with the young people, and sometimes I've said, sometimes in preaching, you get a thought and you do your very best to try to present it. But God, it takes the Lord to show people some things. It takes the Lord to open people's eyes up and understanding. And as I tried to let them know, sometimes it's one thing, we can get saved. And when we come to an altar of prayer and we ask God to forsake or to save us and we forsake sin, Lord, I feel the burden of sin on me. I want you to save me. I want to repent from that. I want you to write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to be a child of God. And God saves us. And we can even be sanctified, to come in to be sanctified. But it doesn't take just that. It takes a growth, a continual growth even more than that. And that's what I was trying to get with the young people, having a vision. We can't, you know, sometimes as a young person, a lot of young people in Hagerstown, of course,
raised with their parents that are saved and Christians, and their parents probably had a great influence, and they may have came to an altar and gotten saved because of the influence of their mom and dad. But to have your own personal experience that God teaches you and shows you about this river, about visions of God, about the encouragement of God. Too many people sometimes get to a place to get saved, to get sanctified, and that's where they go. I don't go nowhere else. I just sit right here. But we can't. We have to overcome. We have to overcome. We must be an overcomer. And a song we're going to give you some verses here in a minute. Be an overcomer. There's a lot that we have to play in to be an overcomer. We have to overcome disappointments. We have to overcome discouragement. By the grace of God, we have to overcome every single battle that the enemy throws upon us. That's why Jesus says there, he says there's armor that we have to put on. We cannot put on one piece of armor. I cannot just take the Bible. I cannot just take the helmet. I cannot just take the shield. I cannot just take certain things of that armor. The Bible tells us we need to put on the whole armor with prayer. We have to. We have to overcome that. We have to overcome weariness. We all get weary.
That's true.
Every one of us get weary. That's where the song comes from. Some days I'm up on top of the mountain. Thank God, bless God. Sometimes I'm down in the valley.
Amen.
And when I'm down in the valley, I get weary. I get tired. I get disappointed. I get discouraged. We have to overcome family. Jesus said one time, except you forsake your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children, and your own life. That's the next step there. But family. We have to forsake all of them. We have to forsake friends necessarily. Or not necessarily when I say forsake. I don't mean not be around them. But they have to be second compared to God. Second in line of Jesus Christ. Whatever Christ desires from us, our family and friends, they have to be second place. And there again, as I mentioned that a little bit, you have to forsake mom, dad, brothers, sisters. And the last part he says in that verse of Scripture, he says, and our own life also, self. I have to overcome me. And many more things, sickness, false teachings, false doctrines. We have to overcome these things. The song that I just mentioned to you, it says, be an overcomer. In verse 2, it says, be an overcomer. He who stands with you is a mighty one, who is always true. We have to overcome the doubt of the enemy that that's not true. You know, I think it was Job that said that one time. He said, I don't know where God is. He goes, I look east, north, south, west, look all around. I don't know where God is. But I know one thing. God knows where I am. And we have to overcome that doubtfulness, that discouragement that God, Bible teaches us that God says, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. I'll be with you all the time. God never gets weary. As we pray many times, cast all of your cares. All these verses of scriptures that we get, the Bible says, this verse here says, he is the mighty one who is always, always, always true. He never will forsake us. But the enemy has, and I've told you sometimes when I first got saved and things, I'd get up in the morning, I went to bed, I was fine. I was sometimes I'd go to bed. I remember when I first get saved, I'd go to bed, I was just encouraged. Humming the songs of the Bible or humming the songs of our song books and things, go to sleep, wake up the morning, next morning, the devil's sitting right there. He goes, you're not even saved. And I thought, well, I'm not saved. I feel that way. I had to overcome that. I don't know if the devil's really ever told me that anymore. He may try to throw it to me, but I said, devil, you've burned that trick a lot of times.
Amen.
But there's some other ones that he comes at you with. Be an overcomer. He who stands with you is a mighty one who is always true. In the sorest conflict, you shall win that day. We are promised victory. We cannot lose as long as we stay yoked up with Christ. We cannot lose. In the sorest conflict, you shall win that day. Face the legions dark till they flee away. Verse 4, be an overcomer. Forward boldly go. And the next one's a good one.
You are strong enough if you count it so. How many of us sometimes we have to overcome, I don't feel strong enough. Or I don't know if I can make it one more day. Lord, I'm weary, I'm tired. And some things can be catastrophic to us. And they are. There's some things that are catastrophic. I mean, Brother Herschel and Sister Ann has faced some things in the recent last year or so that is catastrophic to them. And it's difficult. But they've had to learn to just lean on Christ. Just to trust God and help Him to take them through that terrible time. He says, there, be overcomer, forward boldly go. You are strong enough if you count it so. Strong enough to conquer through sustaining grace and to overcome every foe you face. Overcome. Overcome in Jehovah's might. Put the foe to flight, that the victor's crown you shall wear at last. We have to overcome. If we want to be able to drink of the waters, you know, you can put that in a natural aspect. If you want to drink of that water, it's easy to sit there by that water that's flowing out of that fountain when it's a beautiful, sunny, warm day. That's not a problem. But what happens when, and I'm talking literally here, what happens when the wind blows like a day out there and it's 20 degrees or 10 degrees below or, and it's frozen and it's snowing and it's cold and it's been this way for days? I don't want to be here anymore. That's the same way spiritually. We want to drink of that fountain that we know that He is the center of that fountain. He said unto me, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of water of life freely. We have to overcome some things. We have to overcome the battles of the world and ourselves. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Back up a few pages. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17 it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, why give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. But the first part of there, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches, and to him that overcometh, why give to eat of the hidden manna. You know, Jesus, as he walked upon this earth, he did many parables. And the disciples came to him many times, and they asked him some of the explanations of the reasons of the parables. And if I'm not mistaken, every single parable that he gave a private interpretation to the disciples. He says, I give them parables to basically confuse those ones out there, to trouble basically those ones out there, because they don't have a desire for the things of God. They don't have a desire for the hidden manna. They don't have an ear to hear. They don't have a desire to overcome. They don't have a real desire to eat the true things of God. When Jesus stood there before him one day, and he basically cleared the crowd, so to speak. He says, yep, you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. The Bible says that many of the disciples, not the original 12, but many of the disciples were those that were following him, that were trusting him. Many of them went away and walked no more with him. Why? Because they didn't understand. We don't understand everything. I won't even begin to say a percentage how much we don't understand, but there's probably a more of a percentage that we don't understand than what we do. But I thank God for what we do understand. I can remember first getting saved, and I didn't understand a whole lot of anything, and you neither did you. But every once in a while, God just feeds you a little bit. God just gives you a little bit. Why? Because I had a desire for hunger for the things of God. And I continued to overcome. He says, he that hath to hear, he that have a desire to hear, he says, I'll give to him the hidden manna, the personal things, the private things,
You know, your neighbors and my neighbors, they don't know our family is private business. They don't know our personal business. My next door neighbors and your next door neighbors and your friends and everything, they may know a lot of things about us, but there are certain things they do not know and they will never know. Only immediate family may know them. Only your closest ones that you have confidence may know them. And that's the same relationship that Jesus says here. He goes, I'm only going to give to those that I can trust, that have a desire for the things of God. I mentioned that to the young people too. From time to time, we need to ask, Lord, I want a little bit more.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean God gives it to us right away. But if we're faithful at it, even now, sometimes I say, Lord, I said, Lord, and my prayers is, Lord, give me a little bit.
Amen.
That old little story that was with the little boy that was flying the kite, and it was way up there in the clouds, and somebody come by and he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm flying a kite. He goes, well, how do you know it's even up there? He says, I don't see it. It's so high. He goes, because from every once in a while I feel a little tug.
Amen.
And that's what God does. God cannot give us too much. He can't give. We can't bear it. We can't handle it. But what little bit he does give us, it's gloryful to us. It's a wonderful thing to us. God doesn't share the secret things with just anybody. Only those that are saved. Only those that have overcame. No man knoweth except he that receiveth it, he says there. But he says to them that overcometh is the ones that will receive it. I thank God for salvation. There again, I thank God for one day he talked to my heart.
Amen.
I thank God he let me realize that this is the most important thing in life.
Amen.
And I thank God it's still important. After the end of the service last night, several people came to me and mentioned different thoughts that I said that was an encouragement to some of the older saints and things. Really didn't have anything to do with the vision or things, but they encouraged me with some of the thoughts, and I thank God for that. And God, and that there again, the whole little series there this weekend was a vision of the kingdom of God, and that was the theme of the messages and things like that. But one person came and talked to me for quite some time about something that I had said just briefly passing. That was an encouragement to me, and that's an encouragement to me that God uses us. God just uses us as a tool, as an instrument to help others. But two of the young brothers came to me, and I asked them, they were talking to me, and I asked them their age, and one was 16 and one was 17. And I told them, I said, I gave my testimony that I got saved when I was 17. And I told them, when I remember getting saved at that age, I remember when I came to an altar of prayer, and the Bible tells us to count the cost, consider that. But I remember when I came to an altar of prayer, my desire wasn't to give this a try.
Amen.
I wasn't, at 17 years old, I realized that if the Lord blessed me and allowed me to live, and he gives me my 70 or 80 years, at 17 years old, that's a long way off. It isn't nowhere now. I start to think, I'll be 60 in a few months. And God gives us, the Bible says, I give you 70 to 80 years. I got 10 years, if the Lord even gives me that. But at 17, 70 was a long way off. And I had told him, I said, I had no desire to give this a try for just a month or a year or a couple months. I said, my determination was to stay in the race until he calls me home.
Yes.
And all we can do is give him encouragement. Mm-hmm. Give him, and the other thing we can do is being faithful.
Yes.
To staying faithful. I said this one time years ago in one of the meetings, whether it was a camp meeting, and several of them have said something over the years. I said, I think I held a revival. I said, when I leave, I said, I'm saved today. I said, the next time you see me or you hear of me, I want you to hear that Brother Doug is still saved.
Amen.
And the same goes for me, for you. I want, when in the Hagerstown or Craigsville or wherever it may be, when I hear of someone that I know of, I want to hear their name. I want to know that they're still saved, encouraged, pressing the battle on. I want to know that.
Yes.
I thank God for salvation.
But there's something we have to do to keep it. There's something we have to do. We have to overcome. You know, the story of Moses and the Red Sea and Joshua at the Jordan River, I always enjoy them two stories of shadows of spiritual things. And as God took Moses to the Red Sea and the people, the children of Israel, and they had no other way to go. And God told Moses to tell the people something. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When we come to the Lord to get saved, and that's exactly what we do. We just yield to Him. Lord, I don't know what else to do. Here I am. He says, let me do the work. If you're willing to repent, if you're willing to forsake sin, let me do the work and I'll forgive you. But when Joshua took over the children of Israel after Moses had passed away, and Joshua had told him, he said, or God had told Joshua, he goes, there's something different you're going to do. I'm not just going to open up the Red or the Jordan River there for you and tell you like I did with Moses, stand still. There's something that you have to do. You have to trust God. He says, I want you to bear, put the ark on the priest, the shoulders of the priest, and I want you to walk into the Jordan River as its banks are overflowing, and I want you to go in there, and when the priest, their ankles go in there, God says, I'll stop up the waters then. You know, sometimes God wants us to put faith in Him and says, I need you to take this track. I need you to overcome something. I would rather God fight the battle for me. God, you just take care of it. God says, no, sometimes I need you to trust me that I'm going to be with you. Over there, it was Isaiah there, 42nd or 43rd chapter, a very familiar verse. He says, when you go through the fire, you shall not be burned. When you go through the flood, they shall not overcome you. When you go through these things, I will be with you. You will not be affected by them, but you and I have to go through them. Faith and works must work together. There are many things that we must overcome. Sometimes, as I mentioned, sometimes God saves, delivers us. And sometimes God says, you need to overcome. You need to have the battles with these. Another song in our song book. Victory through grace. And the chorus of this song says, it's not to the strong. When I was a young person, 17 years old, I don't know if I had any problems as far as muscles or bones or hurting or shoulders or, I was, how many of you that were here, can you remember one time, I think Brother Griffin was holding us a revival. And I was sitting down there and the service was over, he finished, I don't know why I was sitting down there, but I came up to chairman and I tripped on that step. And I went flat. And fortunately, my arms caught me and I didn't get hurt and all. I think about that time when I come up them steps and say, Lord, if I do that now, I'm not sure what would happen. You know, my shoulders are really bad. But God had to also teach me that as a young person. As you got saved, well, I can handle some things. No, you can't handle nothing that the enemy has to throw at you. You have no ability, no strength, no ability there to fight the enemy of your own strength. And that's what he says, not to the strong is the battle. Not to the swift is the race. Yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. Not to the strong, not to the swift is the battle, but through truth or through victory, faith there, God has promised it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, pick up in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of men, and will bring to naught and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Some things we have to overcome is an understanding that God, as we talked about a little bit this morning there, some things we have to overcome is understanding that God is way far smarter than we are. There's a verse in the Bible that says, His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We're just small children. And the understanding that small children have compared to God. And God says some of these verses, as we read down, we're not going to go through all these. But in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish. My heart aches sometimes for people. They think this is the most ridiculous thing that we are doing. Sitting in a church listening to someone preach. But one day they're going to find out that this was the thing they needed the most of, that they think is the most foolish. One day they'll realize, they'll come and they'll stand before God. He goes there, he says, they that perish, this is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Thank the Lord. Verse 23 there, we read down there. He says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Let's go to one more verse. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. Christ had to overcome the cross. This morning, I believe, we spoke of that when he was in the garden. He went into the garden to pray. And he asked a couple, I think Peter, James are there, he could go with him a little bit, and he went a little further. And he went in to pray. And he said just a few short words that we have written down. He says, Father, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. You know, I've said sometimes, when we get to heaven by the help of the Lord, I don't know what heaven's going to be like at all. I really would like to see the Bible in its actual happening. You know, men can only do so much. We can only do so much. How long was Jesus there? Well, I can tell you right now, this part of it, he was there long enough the disciples fell asleep. We only have a few short words. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. He got up, went back, they were asleep. He woke them. He said, pray with me. Stay awake. Just watch. He went back the second time. I think the verses there he says almost the same word. He went back, they were asleep again. He left him, went back the third time. And he had to come to the place, as he says here in verse 21 there, he says, even as I also overcame. And he had to get to a place that said, Lord, not my will, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And he came back and they were asleep still. I don't know how much time there was. I don't know really truly how much agony he faced.
The Bible says that he sweat as great drops of blood. He was in agony.
You know, sometimes we may have to face those same things in that sort of same context. We may have to face some real agonizing situations in our lives that we got to overcome. And as I've said to you before, as I know, as I'm getting older things, and I face some things that I never faced 20 or 30 years ago, I'm like, Lord, I'll be honest with you, saints, as I've seen some of the other ones in the past and over the last so many 30 years almost, I've seen the devil with Sister Meyer and my aunt and different ones, as they come closer to the end, Sister Hawk and different ones, as they come closer to the end, not that they were had any thought of giving up in this race, but the battle was just horrendous with some of them. And we have to overcome. We have to be faithful. We have to learn to overcome today when we're well. When we have strength, when we have our mind, when we can pray, when we can stand up, when we can move, we have to learn. We have to learn to overcome that. And that's a part of this message, to learn to overcome. For when we get to those times when the physical body is not physically able to do some things, we can have grace to overcome in those times too. Yes. To him that overcometh, all the way to the end, why grant to sit with me in my throne. And that's what we want to do. I want to sit with Christ. I have no desire, people say, I don't believe he's talking about sit on the throne of God. I mean, I want to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. I want to be as Mary was. I want to be there as Mary was with Mary when he came into her and Martha's house. I want to sit at the feet of Christ and hear his words. And hear those words that he spoke to some of the disciples. Jesus said he had to overcome. We have to overcome. And Jesus says if we overcome, we'll be able to sit with him in the glory and throne of God. But we have to overcome. I can't overcome for you. You can't overcome for me. But I thank God I know one that can help us overcome. That can promise us victory. That we cannot lose long as we stay with Jesus Christ. Stay right in the fountain. Stay right in the major part of the flow of the fountain. Stay right there. And we will be victorious to overcome. May the Lord bless you. As we have a song. If you'd like to get a songbook and stand, turn to page 179.
From hell, I've borne hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee down from my throne above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?